Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirkchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. Super Bowl is officially over. The season's over. A lot of crazy stuff happened. As I predicted, the Rams won. Alex, you were wrong.
I'll take the loss.
And like we talked about on the podcast, if Stafford is the reason why the Rams win, and granted, there were many reasons, but reason why the Rams win, that you would say that Matthew Stafford is the GOAT and praise him, and I want you to do that right now.
No.
Say, do it.
He was not the reason they won.
He was.
He wasn't.
He was.
The Bengals went scoreless on their last, like, five drives.
And that was credited to the defense, yes.
Was Matt Stafford playing corner? Was he playing
end? No, but here, okay.
Linebacker?
Let's break this down. Okay, so the key to both teams being in the Super Bowl was their defense. Bengals defense, Rams defense, both got both teams there. And for large portions of the game, that Bengals defense was playing as good as the Rams defense was. Now, the difference is the Rams have a great O-line. Bengals don't. Burrow had to run for his life, had to get the ball out as quickly as possible, which he couldn't do a lot of times. Ramsey was getting cooked by Chase. Not Higgins. That one play doesn't count. That touchdown doesn't count. But when it comes down to it, if you watch the game, which I know you did, the Rams could not run the ball at all. Cam Akers was getting stuffed. I believe they were under 2 yards per carry, and they carried the ball over 20 times. Odell got hurt. Odell was great in the beginning, but Odell got hurt. Higbee already wasn't playing. You had scrubs out there like Skronik, Ben Skronik, a guy who shouldn't even be starting at all anywhere ever. He was playing in the Super Bowl and getting thrown to. Stafford and Kupp had to make plays, and they're the ones who won the game on offense. I mean, yes, the defense stepped up, but without Stafford and Kupp playing the way they did, the Rams would not have won that game.
The guy that threw two interceptions?
Yeah, and one of them was virtually a punt. He threw it deep in the end zone. It was a bad pass.
That's not the point.
No. One of them, though, was not an interception. I mean, yes, it was, but it was right off Skronik's hands. It was a good pass. It was not Stafford's fault at all. And it was a huge mistake because that could have been a huge point differential flip if the Bengals were able to capitalize on that. So I don't know. I don't think you can really just sit here and say, oh, he threw two picks.
I'll give you the bobbled one, but the first one that you called basically a punt is your classic Matt Stafford play.
Yeah, but it was a third down and long.
Throw into the middle of nowhere.
It was a third and long, and he tried to give his receiver a chance at a touchdown. I'm not saying it was a good decision. It was a bad throw. He shouldn't have done it. But at the end of the day, that's one bad throw. You know, he was hurt for parts of the game. He didn't look great for the whole game, but when he had to step up, he did. And he outplayed Joe Burrow.
I'll give
just
you that.
For that basic fact.
I will give you that he did make some huge throws in some of the most important moments, but I'm not going to sit here and act like Matt Stafford was the driving factor in the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
One of the driving factors. It's him, Donald, and Kupp. Without those three, the Rams are not winning the Super Bowl, not even scoring 20 points. They'd probably score 10
You mean a top 10 quarterback and a top 5 wide receiver? If they didn't play, they wouldn't have scored 20 points?
Yes.
Wow. Real insightful.
No, I'm just saying. No, you could. I think if you swap teams, if you put Burrow on the Rams, I don't know if he would have won.
Are we talking like as if Burrow played with Cooper Kupp all season? They have chemistry and all.
Yes.
Okay. I disagree.
I don't know, man. I just don't think so. I don't think you ever give credit Stafford enough credit. And yeah, he wasn't perfect. I'm not saying he was perfect, but. He definitely, I mean,
no,
definitely
he was, no, he wasn't perfect. You're right about that. But I was waiting for him to implode all season and all postseason, and it never happened. The guy made the big plays when he needed to make the big plays. That's why they're Super Bowl champs right now. But again, he was not the driving factor of why they won the game.
Mm.
Otherwise, he would have won MVP.
Well, Cooper Kupp was just better. And there's a reason why Cooper Kupp won MVP was because he was the only receiver who could do anything and nobody could guard him. I mean, Eli Apple can't guard anybody, but still, doesn't matter. Kupp was getting open every play and Stafford was making the passes. Yeah, Stafford wasn't the most valuable player in that game. But I don't think – I think most quarterbacks wouldn't have won that game. I just want to say that. Some would have, but I don't think most quarterbacks in the league
– 20 of the 32 in the league wouldn't have won.
I would say 25 of them wouldn't have won that game for the Rams.
I'd say that everybody that I would put on the tier of Matt Stafford also would have won the game, which is top 10-ish.
I have Stafford around 5 or 6.
Okay, that's too high.
And I think that everybody below him probably would have
lost. I'll tell you. Yeah, 25 is accurate because I'd put him 7, 8, 9-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom half. And that's coming from someone who doesn't like him. Although, no, he's kind of turning me with his performance in the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah.
Frat Stafford is... Frat Stafford is a great time.
Yeah, but we talked a lot about Stafford right now, but more specifically, let's talk about the game a little bit. A lot of people are pretty upset with the officiating throughout the game, and I understand why. First off, that T. Higgins no-call... Yeah. Was atrocious. Yeah, I do understand. I mean, from the first glance, I thought Ramsey just got cooked. And then when you see the replay, I think it's ridiculous that they couldn't do anything to that and that they didn't do anything with that. You know, that's a free touchdown off of an offensive pass interference. Yeah. So,
and then your boy turns around and throws a pick and they get the ball back.
It wasn't his fault, okay? It was Ben Skronik's fault. Does not have good hands. Anyway, but so there's that. And then at the end of the game, a lot of people were upset that all the calls that the Rams were getting near the end zone, most of them were flags. There was that one phantom holding call on Logan Wilson.
I agree. That was bogus.
Yeah. And, you know, I was rooting for the Rams. I'll admit it. You know, I'm talking from a non-biased angle, but I was rooting for the Rams. And I was like, how are you going to call that right there? Like, that was not a holding call. And it gave the Rams, you know, a first down, another chance at scoring.
As someone who was rooting for the Bengals, I did actually like that the call happened. I thought it was bogus. But at that point, it was you kind of want them to score quickly so then you could go down and get a field goal and send it to overtime. And Zach Taylor's play calling did not allow for that in the end. You know, putting in Samaje Perine at the end of the game to get 1 yard that he failed to do instead of Joe Mixon, your star running back who was like second, third in the league in rushing.
I want to know more about that because I feel like there has to be some bigger story to that. Mixon was either tired or hurt or something. There has to be a reason why Mixon was not in the game there. Because if it's really just that, you know, Zach Taylor just put Perine in for that drive, then that's ridiculous. You cannot sit your superstar players in the final drive in the Super Bowl. You just can't do it.
He's not exactly known as a great coach. I feel like a lot of his success has come off the backs of his talent, which that's going to be true for everyone. Don't get me wrong, but kind of especially there because Zach Taylor was on the hot seat coming into this year. And then his team, I can't. He had a great season. He had a great year with the offense. Who knows how much of that was attributed to the receivers and Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow, but he seems to be a really good leader. It's just that moment in the end was not his best moment.
Yeah, although I still think I personally think that the Mixon part, I think Mixon was probably hurt or like really tired or something because I don't think anybody would have benched Mixon for Perine, not bench, but put in Perine instead of Mixon on a pivotal play like that. For me, more so, I think Taylor's issue was just the play calling on that final drive.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams are sending everyone. Donald's rushing as fast as he can to get to Burrow. You saw him. He got there. And, you know, he's arguably, I don't think he's, I'm going to say it, arguably the best defensive player of all time. He's up there at least. Don't say
Hold your horses.
LT, Reggie White, Aaron Donald. Those three, pretty much the top three defensive players of all time.
Prime is over Aaron Donald.
Prime time?
Prime is over Aaron Donald.
I mean, I guess if you're looking at it from like a longevity perspective, Donald doesn't have like longevity yet, because obviously he hasn't played.
Late 30s.
But no, I wouldn't say so. I think Donald is such a key player to that Rams defense. You saw it. He closed the game there for the Rams. So I disagree with you there, but I do see how you're saying that. And I think it's a fair argument to have, but I'm more so, I want to talk about Zach Taylor quickly. So, you know, he calls this play, and I don't know if Burrow and him were not on the same page, but Burrow had to get the ball out quickly on that play. CJ Uzomah was wide open, on the side. And, you know, he had to call more screens, more short plays just to get the ball out fast, because that Rams defensive line was just coming in so fast every single play. The offensive line was like Swiss cheese. It could not stand up to Aaron Donald and that defense. And so I think, you know, the Bengals probably would have won if they called more creative plays, more screens, more short passes. And the drive definitely would have been saved if Zach Taylor called a screen or a very short pass play. Like if they were communicating correctly, and if Burrow knew to pass it immediately right off the snap to Uzomah, that would have been a first down. So
they were within like 10-15 yards of field goal range, and all they needed was 1 yard to get the first down. They couldn't do it.
And
can't say you deserve to win the game if you can't do that.
Exactly. We were talking about penalties, but at the same time, the Bengals did get a chance to win the game. I think even with bad calls on both sides, I think both teams had an equalish chance at winning the game.
The refs generally let them play.
Yeah.
I don't think it was unfairly called on either side.
I agree with that. The two bad penalties kind of offset each other, and giving the Bengals that much time left with the final drive made it fair. And, you know, it kind of stinks, because I really wanted it to go to overtime. You know, McPherson, you said 10 or 15 yards. McPherson has a crazy leg. We've seen him make 70-plus yard field goals in practice, not in actual games, but in practice. So you just never know. Getting a kicker like that who's so good in the clutch, if you get him in position, you never know what would happen. And, yeah, I just would have liked the Bengals to maybe come back. But at the end of the day, I just don't think they were ready yet. I think they're going to get better. And listen, before you say anything, I think they're going to become a better team, because they're only going to develop and get better. But that being said, I don't think they're making the Super Bowl again.
Like ever?
Maybe not. I mean, they probably will make it again, but I don't think Burrow is going to lead his team and the Bengals defense. I don't think they're making it back within the next 5-10 years right now. That's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, no, that's when I said ever, I meant like with Joe Burrow and this.
I know, but I'm just saying, maybe like in a while from now when Burrow's old, but I don't see them making it again. It's just so hard. The AFC is so competitive.
But like, I agree with you there. I don't think they'll be making it back in the next year or two, but I also can't definitively say that, because who would have said that the Bengals would make the Super Bowl at the beginning of these playoffs?
Yeah.
Anything can happen with the way the bracket shakes out. You know, that you had Kansas City and Buffalo fight it out. That was the two supposed best teams in the AFC. And then, you know, they're all tired and all from the last game. So then Cincinnati goes in and beats them Super Bowl.
I just don't think you can expect the Bengals defense, with how little superstar talent they have. You know, they have some good players, but I don't think you can expect that defense to just hold up and play at this level.
Who's to say they can't get one?
They have cap space, but I mean, first off, I just want to say their division was as easy as it'll come this year. I mean, I don't think it's going to get easier than this, because Lamar was hurt for 5 or 6 games.
That's the biggest thing.
And I think the Ravens, I mean, this is a hot take, because I'm a big Ravens guy. I like them a lot. I like what they're doing. I think Lamar would have had this either put the same record or would have beaten the Bengals, and the Ravens would have gotten won the division over the Bengals this year. If
I don't think it's just Lamar, I think it's the fact that literally the entire team was decimated by injuries completely. You lost both your starting corners. You lost three running backs before the season even started. Or was it three?
It was two.
It was Dobbins and then Gus Edwards.
Well, Latavius Murray did get hurt after a couple of weeks. So
no, but it was different than what I meant. Yeah, the whole team was just injured and they still went, what, 8-9?
Yeah.
So I don't think you can you can't expect that next year. So you're going to need to make some really big offensive line improvements. Probably get another corner, I'd say. And then you're right back here, though. You're not losing any of these players. The only extension you have to worry about right now is Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I think the team will only get better. But at the same time, look at like Dan Marino. He made the Super Bowl in the second season, very similar to Burrow, although he had a much better regular season than Burrow did. And then he made the Super Bowl and they lost it and he never made it back. And Dan Marino is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I mean, he's up there. I don't know where, but he's up there. So there's examples of great quarterbacks who just haven't been able to make it back. And I like the Bengals, but, you know, I don't think the Chiefs are just going to – they're not going to give up easy. Ravens are not – are going to put up an extreme fight for that division. If the Steelers get a quarterback, maybe the Steelers could be good.
No, not anytime soon. That defense is not where it needs to be.
Steelers? The Steelers defense isn't that bad.
It's not bad, but it's not good. It's not this great Steelers defense that you've come to expect over the years.
No, but if they make a splash at quarterback, they have some real good offensive talent. If they could improve their line just a little bit, you never know. I mean, Tomlin as coach, he's a great coach. He hasn't brought them to a losing record ever in his career. So just something to keep in mind. And then Browns too.
All signs point to the Steelers getting Malik Willis next year as their quarterback. And I see zero chance to where Malik Willis is ready to contribute right away.
Yeah.
There's just no way. He's too raw. He's like, it's like Trey Lance, but worse as a prospect. And Trey Lance definitely wasn't ready to play this year.
I honestly think that they should just stick with Mason Rudolph. He's going to be a real star in a couple years.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think you might be right.
That was a joke. Don't come at me. That was a joke. We'll have to see. It's going to be hard for, I think, both teams to make the Super Bowl again just because of the nature of the league and how things change every year. But it was a fun matchup.
Hold on. You didn't mention, like, you kind of mentioned the Browns, but then I kind of cut you off a little, which my fault. But I think the Browns could definitely be back there if they get a new quarterback. In fact, I had a dream last night where the Browns won the Super Bowl. So based on that, they're obviously going to win the Super Bowl next year. And
anything else happened in this dream?
No, I actually do not remember a single other detail besides the fact that the Browns won the Super Bowl. They were wearing the white jerseys and the orange pants. And I can't tell you anything besides that.
I honestly don't even think they need to get a new quarterback to make it back to the playoffs. Baker just needs to play a little bit better. And, you know, that.
Oh, a lot better.
They were kind of close. I mean, you've seen the way he's played. Like, every other year, he's either decent or he's awful. And it's just kind of like a back and forth, you know, seesaw type of thing. And, you know, he was bad last year, so it's looking up for Baker and the Browns. No, I'm joking, but that's not how it works. But I think the team is good enough that if Baker could just do his part most of the time, that they could potentially make it again. The playoffs, not like a deep playoff run necessarily, but I'm just saying that that division is harder than people I think it is, and the AFC is harder than people think it is. I think Herbert and the Chargers are going to be better next year too, like just in general. It's going to be harder. Mac Jones and the Patriots are probably going to get a little bit better than they were this year, so
I don't know that Mac Jones is ever going to be a superstar. In fact, I don't think he will be. I think Mac Jones needs this loaded team around him to make a deep playoff run, because you saw it. The Patriots were frauds this year.
Yep.
They got like they beat up on bad teams all year, beat one good team. No, you can't even say the Colts are a good team because, you know.
The Colts were a good team when they beat them.
Yeah, the Colts were in the middle of a pretty good run once when they lost to the Patriots, and then they folded completely. Which our favorite quarterback over here, Carson Wentz, is certainly not blameless in that particular folding.
Let's talk about Carson Wentz. So
let's.
Carson Wentz, a report came out this week that it is very likely that the Colts will not be bringing back Carson Wentz, that they will either trade him or release him before the season starts. And I think I know what you think about this, but I'll have you start because, you know, you're the one who brought this up. I'll have you start with this conversation.
Well, can't say I'm surprised. Well, no, based on his play, can't say I'm surprised, and his contract. The only reason that this would surprise me is because him and Frank Reich are tight. And, you know, they're like this. Frank Reich is the reason Carson Wentz is on the Colts right now. That's the only reason that there were connections to Carson Wentz in the Colts last offseason when he was still in the Eagles. That's the only reason that they traded for him. That's the only reason that he wasn't guaranteed off the team next year. Because even with a stacked run game, you had a great offensive line. You had one of the best running backs in the league. I'd say top three, Jonathan Taylor. You had a great defense led by a perennial defensive player of the year candidate in Darius Leonard. And you can't even make the playoffs. All you have to do is beat the Jaguars. The one win Jaguars, or maybe it was two. No, I think it was one, right?
It was one before they.
The one win Jaguars you needed to beat to make the playoffs. And you're going to sit there and have three turnovers and blow the game? I mean, come on now. That day should have cemented Carson Wentz's future with the Colts. Now, I don't know if he's going to be able to get a starting job somewhere. I'm sure there's somebody that will be able to convince themselves that he has the athleticism, he has the traits. If you could just get him mentally ready to where he's not going to do anything stupid, I'm sure there's someone that'll convince himself that you can get that 2017 or even 2019 Wentz back. Someone will do that and trade for him, or maybe sign him after he gets cut. But I think Carson Wentz is finished.
Wow. Yeah, I don't agree. And I do agree with some of what you said. Yeah, he could not. He folded against the Jaguars. It wasn't all his fault. The defense could not stop Trevor Lawrence, and it was his first good game ever. 26 points by the Jaguars. I mean, that's not a normal thing that happens. I mean, Lawrence actually looked like the first overall pick. So I said that before, but I mean, yeah, he actually did. Looked like the first overall pick in that game. But at the same time, Carson Wentz needed to win those final two games of the regular season, and especially that Jaguars won. I mean, he should have won it. Everyone knew the Colts were going to win going into it, and they didn't. And Carson Wentz was probably the main reason why he just couldn't get anything going. So I do understand from that angle why, you know, people are saying that Carson Wentz needs to go, why the Colts may want to move on from him. But to me, I still think Carson Wentz is an average quarterback. I think he's an average quarterback in the league. I don't think he's anything special.
I could see that, average to below average. I don't think he's bad per se.
I don't know about below average. I think he's very average. And, you know, people talk about his awful mistakes. Yeah, he makes a lot of awful mistakes. But at the same time, you look this year, he made around, I would say, four or five really bad throws or bad decisions, or, you know, some decisions where you're just like, oh my gosh, this season, there's about four or five of those moments.
No, that happens at least twice a game with Carson Wentz. Seen last season with the Eagles.
Did you watch the Colts this year, Alex?
I did.
It was a different story.
Did you see the pick six against the Titans?
Yeah, no, that's one example. That is one of the four or five really, really bad moments. At the same time, I mean, he drastically decreased his turnover numbers this year. His passing efficiency wasn't all that bad, especially when you look at his weapons. I mean,
they didn't let him.
Yeah, he has Taylor. He has a great line.
They didn't let him.
Besides Michael Pittman, there's really not much there on that offense for him to pass to. They did not
let him throw the ball.
They did. There's not a lot. Not as much as he was in Philly. And that was a good thing. I thought it was working, well, at least for parts of the season. That's
natural because Doug Peterson doesn't run the ball.
Yeah, I know. Doug, yeah. Trevor Lawrence is in for a treat next year. But anyway, what I was more alluding to is that I don't think that there's a quarterback that the Colts are going to get that is better than Carson Wentz at this current moment, unless they go after someone like Russ or Watson, which they're not going to do. Unless they get a guy like that, What do you say?
They don't have the ammo for it because they traded away their first round pick to get Carson Wentz.
Exactly. And, you know, they're not going to have, you know, yeah, they're not going to be able to draft somebody. I mean, they don't have the ammo to trade for somebody like that. So, like, what are they going to do if they're moving on from Carson Wentz? I mean, I'm fine if they move on from Carson Wentz, as long as if they're getting someone better or improving their situation. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree.
And I think that as much as, you know, I'm more of a Carson Wentz supporter than most, but I will say that I don't think Carson Wentz is ever going to bring the Colts success. So I do understand why they want to move on from him. But at the same time, like I feel like the Colts could easily make the playoffs as like a wild card. Or they could easily win their division just based on the fact that their division is not very good right now. Besides the Titans, I don't see the Jaguars or the Texans having any shot at winning that division. So, and the Titans are looking down with the way they played in the playoffs, with Tannehill having a down year. I still think the Titans will win it, but you just never know. So I think it's kind of a dumb move for the Colts to consider moving away from Carson Wentz right now. I think if they could easily replace him and have a, you know, an option that's better off, then I would do it. But I don't think there is, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think Carson Wentz could still be a average to slightly below average starter for the Colts or for another team for the next 4 or 5 years.
That's the thing. You got to have a plan in place if you're getting rid of Carson Wentz.
Well, what is the plan though? You tell me.
I don't know, which I do agree with you that you don't just move off him just to move off him, because then you're stuck with someone like Sam Ehlinger as your starting quarterback. Right. Yeah. Just by your facial expression after I said that, that's exactly how everybody feels about that. But at the same time, Carson Wentz has displayed very poor leadership qualities. He got very bitter after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. After his own team won the Super Bowl, he turned on them because he was jealous it wasn't him.
That's not fair.
It's not fair?
No, he wasn't mad that he probably was a little jealous that it wasn't him, but that makes sense. That's human nature. He was mad that fans were chanting to start Nick Foles and to keep Foles as our franchise quarterback. And he was mad that that was a huge discussion. That was a huge offseason discussion after he has one of the best second year seasons out of any quarterback in the last, not the best, but one of the best in the last decade, second year seasons. The team is already looking to move on from him.
That was ridiculous.
That was a huge discussion. And even in 2018, when he got hurt again, people were still chanting, "Oh, let's keep Foles."
Nick Foles made our playoff run.
He did, but it's just a little ridiculous when Wentz was easily at that point was looking to be our franchise quarterback. So I do understand why he would be upset, at least
situation. Then when the guy who's never finished the season got mad that they drafted a backup quarterback.
Was a bad draft pick. No, we should not have taken Hurts in the second round. We probably could have gotten him a round or two later, honestly. Hurts is not a second round talent. And exactly what he thought would happened. He got benched.
He got benched because he sucked. He had quite possibly one of the worst seasons of all time as a quarterback.
He did have a very bad season.
No, very bad. That's an understatement.
The team was
one of the worst seasons ever.
I guess that is fair. He was very bad.
He deserved to get benched in every capacity.
I feel like he deserved to get benched, but at the same time, like, I don't know, benching him was like giving up on him completely. And I think the team was bad enough.
On the team?
I think he didn't give up on the team. No, the team gave up on him.
He was checked out the second they drafted Jalen Hurts.
He was checked out the second he got benched, because he knew that he would never be the starter in Philly again. And he did not want to sit on the bench and watch another quarterback take over and become potentially the franchise guy.
I think that he should consider joining one of the New York teams to be in close proximity with his friend Ben Simmons. They share a lot of parallels. Hey, tell you
there
what,
are some
send
teams
him to the Giants. I would love for Carson Wentz to be the quarterback of the Giants. They have
I actually kind of like
very
that.
Nice and tolerant fans. New York is a very nice place. They're totally not worse than Philadelphia. They play in the same division as the Eagles, so him being their quarterback would be a definite plus for us as Eagles fans. So, you know, I say trade Carson Wentz to the Giants.
I know you're joking around right now.
But Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey, they can fix him the same way they fixed Josh Allen.
I don't think they're not doing that. But as I know you're joking around a little bit, but I honestly think that getting like a team like the Giants or like a team, I don't know, some other team similar to the Giants, getting Wentz might actually not be an awful thing.
I think you're wrong, because when they start telling him what he does wrong and then he thinks he's the greatest quarterback ever, then things go south.
It's more complicated than just that.
That was the thing in Philadelphia here. Press Taylor was our QB coach, who's now the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. Hysterical. Horrible hire, in my opinion. But Press Taylor was always Carson Wentz's buddy, Carson and Doug's buddy, who, instead of making Carson Wentz improve, just kind of let him do his thing and think he's the best, even though Carson Wentz never fixed his mechanics while he was here in Philadelphia. And that
it worked for 4 years.
It worked for three.
2018 was a pretty good
2018,
year.
He was not good.
Yeah, he was.
He was average in 2018.
No, he was above average in 2018. He just got hurt. Okay. His numbers were great. The team just wasn't great.
He essentially had two good years here. And then the fourth year, after all the injuries and after his athleticism kind of got zapped away a little bit, which, you know, injuries suck. It happens. But he never decided to reinvent himself as a more of a pocket passer and fix his mechanics. He just never did that. He kept acting like he was still 2017 Carson Wentz when he clearly did not have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But at the same time, I think he would be better than a Daniel Jones. I think he would be better than...
Maybe.
I don't know who the Bucs are going to get, but like...
Kyle Trask. Superstar.
He'd be better than a Kyle Trask. He'd be better than... I would take Wentz for the next 2 years over probably most or all of this rookie quarterback class.
Are you paying Wentz
for the next 2 years?
Are you considering that you're paying Wentz $20
million? Yeah.
So Wentz
at least if you want to win games, I think Wentz has more of a shot at succeeding than this rookie quarterback class, at least for the first 2 years. After that, I'm taking the potential of the quarterbacks over Wentz. But the
thing is, to me, Wentz was set up for success perfectly in Indianapolis. And maybe not perfectly, because they didn't have the greatest receiving core, but it was a very good situation where old man Philip Rivers could win 10, 11 games. I think it was 11. They won 11-5 last year.
I don't know what they won. I thought they won 10-6. But
all right, either way, double-digit wins, he got them. And Carson Wentz failed to do that in a year where Jonathan Taylor was even better and more able to carry the offense than he was the last year.
I get it. And like I said, I mean, I agree with you in some aspects, but I don't know. I don't think the Colts – not making the playoffs is all on Wentz. It's mostly on Wentz, but it's not all on Wentz. And at the same time, you look at midseason, how the Colts were playing, they looked like they were supposed to. They were beating teams that were better than them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the same time, I think there's two arguments to be made, two sides to be made. And I think that Carson Wentz will have a starting job next year with another team that's not the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that he'll play better than some people think he will. I don't think it'll be great. But
the Giants,
maybe the Giants, who knows? I would actually like that fit. So
I cannot express to you how happy I would be. It would honestly send me to the clouds.
I think we should move on to a different topic. We talked about Wentz for a while. Do you want to do some Stafford Burrow talk?
All right. Lead us through.
Okay. So a big topic that has been going around NFL fan communities and just like analyst communities, everything, is where Stafford ranks all time, if he's a Hall of Famer or not, and what this ring means to his legacy. And I just want to say, first off, that a lot of people have counted Stafford out just because of how bad the Lions have been when he was on the Lions. In the 13 seasons, is that correct? 13? Is it 12?
Yeah, 13 sounds some, right. He was
something
he
was like number that. One I think it was 13.
2008? 2009?
I don't remember.
2009.
Anyway. In however many seasons, which was over 10, the Lions were never a great team. He never had a great defense. On offense, yeah, he had some great weapons. He had Calvin Johnson, one of the best receivers ever. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, he never had a great offensive line. Detroit never got him a good running game. And he still brought his team to the playoffs a couple times, still put up good numbers, still looked like a good quarterback. So comes into Los Angeles this season, and he has a pretty good year. He's up and down sometimes, 41 touchdowns, 17 picks, 4,800 passing yards. Towards the middle of the season, he kind of collapsed a little bit. You've talked about that a lot, Alex. But in the end, he didn't fold in the playoffs.
Nope.
He had some of the best stats on game-winning drives. Not game-winning drives, but last drives in the fourth quarter. He has some of the best stats ever from any season. He's 14 touchdowns, zero picks on those final drives. And he's been clutch when he's had to be. I'm not going to argue that he's a top five quarterback because I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's a very realistic argument to have with you, but he showed up when he had to this year. And so the question is, what more does Stafford have to do to make the Hall of Fame? And
a whole lot.
Personally, I think that he's going to need one or two elite seasons and potentially another ring for people to want to put him in the Hall of Fame. And I don't think he's going to make it, but I think he probably should make it if he does have a couple good years after this. Because I personally think he's a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. I know that's a hot take.
Is a hot take.
Yeah. He's a better quarterback than Big Ben ever was. This ring that he got is as impressive as the one that Big Ben got in 2008. And his 2005 ring was not impressive at all to me because the defense carried him to that ring. So Stafford's going to finish with better career stats than Ben Roethlisberger most likely. He's going to get the ring. He has a better arm talent. You know, I could just keep listing on things, but I think I'm more so alluding to that. I think Stafford should be in that Hall of Fame conversation. Now I want to hear what you have to say about that.
All right, let me recalibrate here for a little bit because of that blasphemy you just spewed out.
Not blasphemy.
We're talking about a guy who has never made an all-pro team, has one Pro Bowl, has never been top five at his position at any point in his career.
I don't ever. Think that's fair, actually.
What's not fair about it?
2011, he was top five.
I
5,000 pass yards, 41 touchdowns, 16 picks. Not a great team around him. He was top five that year. Didn't make the Pro Bowl because they didn't win a lot of games. Also because there's Brady, there's Rodgers.
They did win a lot of games. They went 10-6 that year.
I mean, they weren't good enough to put him in an all-pro position.
Or a Pro Bowl position, apparently.
He should have made it, but Breeze had a great year that year as well. I mean, there was just too many superstar, like
too many quarterbacks that are better than him?
Yeah, exactly.
Then how does that disprove my argument?
It doesn't, because the quarterbacks who are better than him are the best quarterbacks of all time. He's not right. The best quarterback of all time.
So I just said that he's never been top five at his position at any point. So you said
he has no. Been, though.
So you said, no, 2011, he was top five, but he didn't make the Pro Bowl because there were too many quarterbacks that were better than him.
In terms of the public eye, that doesn't – okay, you cannot use Pro Bowls as a metric for who's the best. If we're looking at this year,
you can use Lamar
and Kyler made the Pro Bowl over Josh Allen, made it over Derek Carr, made it over Matthew Stafford. There was at least four or five quarterbacks who probably should have made it over Kyler and Lamar.
13 years, he has one Pro Bowl selection.
Look at his stats. The year he won the Pro Bowl, made the Pro Bowl, is probably his sixth best year. And it was only, he only made it because the Lions had their best record. They were the most successful team that he's ever played with that season, 2014. Stafford has at least 5 years better than that one. And, you know, you're saying he's never been top five. 2011, he was top five. I think this year he was top five. I don't think he's, you know, maybe a lot of people think of him as a top five quarterback in the league, but he had a top five season this year.
Wait. So you mean to tell me that you're taking Matthew Stafford over one of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Herbert. I'm forgetting one. There's one I'm forgetting definitively.
Who? Kyler? Burrow?
No. Lamar, maybe, but no.
I'll tell you straight off the bat before you remember who you're forgetting. This season, I'm taking Stafford over Josh Allen. This season, I'm taking him over Lamar and so Kyler.
If you had Josh Allen or Matthew Stafford going into the playoffs this year, you're taking Matthew Stafford.
I'm more so looking at the seasons they had. Josh Allen's the better quarterback. Josh Allen's higher on my rankings in terms of who I think is the best quarterback in the league. But based off of play this season, what I saw this season, if we're only looking at this season, yeah, I'm taking Stafford over Allen.
No, that's not what it is, though. At any moment in his career, when you're saying the top five quarterbacks in the league, when you're ranking your top five quarterbacks in the league, Matt Stafford was not in there this season.
He's six for me right now. So, yeah, he's right outside my top five, actually.
He's never been top five. That's the thing.
I mean, I could make the same argument for Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli, Matt Ryan. A lot of those guys are being considered for Hall of Fame.
I don't think Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he at least has an MVP. Stafford's never going to win an MVP.
He could next year,
potentially. I think for me, from this point moving forward, for Matt Stafford to make the Hall of Fame, I'll leave him with the one ring because I don't think it's realistic for him to get two. And one ring is plenty, I'd say. You know, I think he'd have to make at least three All-Pro teams. And naturally, the Pro Bowls are going to come with that.
No way.
He'd have to have elite seasons from here on out.
You know, Russ doesn't have any All-Pros. Rivers has no All-Pros. Roethlisberger has no All-Pros.
Roethlisberger has two Super Bowls.
Yeah, one of them isn't even his doing at all.
Still. Roethlisberger had great seasons for 20 years.
Great. Stafford's had better seasons than Roethlisberger's had. I mean, I get that, you know, the Steelers have been a good team, but is that enough to propel Roethlisberger to some almighty status when there's quarterbacks who are more talented, who have better efficiency stats, who are going to finish with better career numbers, who contribute more to the ring than Roethlisberger ever did?
Tell you what, how about we compare Pro Bowl numbers for Big Ben and Matt Stafford?
Yeah, AFC, look at the quarterbacks in the AFC in the years that Ben Roethlisberger made it. Put Stafford in the AFC, he would have made it over.
Okay, hold on.
Do it.
Let's look at the quarterbacks in the AFC, because if my calculations are correct, Big Ben played the majority of his career in the AFC in the same conference as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in their primes.
Yep.
And the likes of Phillip Rivers to boot.
Oh, I mean, I guess that is true. Not Phillip Rivers. I mean, at the same time, I think Stafford would have made at least three or four Pro Bowls if he played in the AFC in the early 2010s.
He didn't.
I know, but I'm just saying.
We're talking.
The Pro Bowl argument is so dumb.
It means
just for that fact alone.
You can't base it on everything, but like you can't base everything on the Pro Bowl thing, but it's got to hold some weight.
I mean, yeah, I do. I do think that it can hold some weight, but then at the same time, you look at his talent. You can't tell me that he's not at least doesn't have a better arm, and in certain aspects, a better quarterback than a lot of the guys I've been naming.
Jamarcus Russell had the biggest arm ever.
Okay, but Jamarcus Russell was not at the level of any.
Obviously, but like arm strength means nothing.
Well, arm talent means something.
Arm talent means
on nothing. Top of stats, on top of consistency. And I'm not going to argue that Stafford, I mean, he's not a top five quarterback of the decade, not even close, but neither is Big Ben. Stafford's probably a top 10 quarterback of the decade. I think he's right in the same realm as Big Ben. I just think people won't admit it because Big Ben was on a more successful team.
Maybe the team was more successful because of Big Ben.
Was it though? Look at his defenses.
They
look
both
at his weapons with, that he's had. Look at
they
his.
They both played with the same caliber wide receiver.
Okay. Stafford had Calvin Johnson. Cool. Big Ben had Antonio Brown, Hines Ward. Mike Wallace was great for a couple years. He had Emmanuel Sanders before Emmanuel Sanders popped out. He had Santonio Holmes. He had Le'Veon Bell. He had Jerome Bettis. He had great offensive lines in the mid-2010s. He had one of the best coaches of all time. I mean, I think Big Ben's a little overrated. I think Stafford's a little underrated in terms of how good he is. But at the same time, I do get what you're saying about with Hall of Fame, it may be tricky for him to get in. More so, I just think Stafford needs to be have a little bit more recognition and how good of a quarterback he was over this time.
I think that if right now, I think I do agree with it. It sucks that he's been on the Lions for 10 years because if he got traded 5 years ago when he was still, you know, 27, 28, maybe 26 years old, and this season happened and he won the Super Bowl, maybe we're talking about he could become a Hall of Famer. But as it stands right now, as a 33-year-old, I don't think he has time and enough time left in his prime to get the stuff that he needs to be a Hall of Famer. It's just I don't see it happening.
I think next season is pivotal for that. We'll see what he does next season. But I think I'm leaning towards I don't think he will make it. I think he should make it based on some of the stuff I've said, but I don't think he will make it like what you just said.
No way.
But I think we should move on and talk about the other side, Joe Burrow, because this is also another big thing. And I'm going to start off. I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback, but I've seen a lot of things. People are saying that he's better than Herbert now. I want to talk about it. People are putting him inside their top five right now after the great last six or so games that he's played. And after that great postseason, people are putting him inside their top five. And I just want to say, I think that's very premature. I like Joe Burrow. He looks very good at some parts. He's been great this postseason, but he's not a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. Nope. He's not in my top five. I put Stafford above Burrow, and that's a close argument in my opinion. I could see it going either way.
Catch me on one day, I'll say Stafford. Catch me on another, I'll say Burrow.
Yeah, but I think Burrow's probably around that 7 to 8 mark right now.
I agree.
And he's closer to guys like Prescott, Cousins, Carr than he is to the elite Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
That's where you lost me.
No.
There's no way.
Yeah, there is way.
Nah, because I don't know. Joe Burrow just has this it factor that I always talk about.
No, I love Joe Burrow.
Also has the numbers to back it up. Joe Burrow way more than I do any of those dudes that you just mentioned.
I trust him more. That's why I have him ranked above them. But I think he's closer to that type of quarterback than he is to Herbert, Rodgers, Mahomes yet. He hasn't proved enough to me for me to put him there. Yeah, he's been great. He's moved way up my rankings. I was a hater at first. But at the same time, like a healthy Russ playing at his best is better than Joe Burrow. Lamar, I still have Lamar over Joe Burrow. It's close. That's another very close one. I think Joe Burrow is better than Kyler because Kyler's very inconsistent. But, you know, I just can't put him up there with those other guys. I just wanted to say that real quick. That's my opinion on it. And I think you agree, but you more so think that Joe Burrow's just a tier above that Dak Prescott. And then, and I think I agree with that, but I'm just more so saying I think I'd more so put him outside of the top 10 than I would like – in the top three. I think
I'd say you have your tier of, I'm going to discount Tom Brady now because he's retired. Yeah,
because he's retired for now.
So I think you have your Mahomes, your Josh Allen, your Aaron Rodgers, and then you have your Herbert, Stafford, Burrow, Lamar, and then you have the other dudes that you just mentioned, Cousins, Carr, yada, yada.
I
forgot anyone.
Yeah, like Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Herbert. Here below, I have like Stafford, Russ, Lamar.
Yeah, Russ, I forgot to mention.
Burrow, probably in that tier. Yeah, Burrow's in that tier. And then I would say, like, Kyler is right on the edge just because of how inconsistent
Kyler he is. Kyler, too. I forgot him.
And Dak, too. And then I would say right below is, like, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins.
And
Kirk,
yeah, okay, yeah. No, I agree with yours. And then okay. If we're counting Watson, too, he's in that first tier.
Watson, yeah. Watson definitely makes that
first tier. He's in that Mahomes and Allen tier.
Definitely. Watson is incredible when he's on the field. So, yeah. But I'm glad we agree there. I was worried that you were going to put Burrow pretty high. So it's nice that we agree on that at least.
For once.
Yep. And last, I mean, we're going to try to wrap things up pretty quickly, but we have one more thing that we just wanted to talk about a little bit. And that's the Kyler Murray situation. Kyler Murray, like I just said, he's a great quarterback, but he's been super inconsistent, especially towards the end of seasons. He hasn't been able to close seasons out. The Cardinals opened up the season as one of the best teams. I believe they won 7 of their first 8 games. And
I think they were in though.
8 now?
Maybe.
They went 8 out of their first 9. I know they lost either week 8 or 9, but they were the best team in the league for the first half of the season.
And oh, no, you were right. They won their first 7 and then
lost to the Packers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But things quickly plummeted. DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. Murray started playing pretty inconsistently. He also got hurt. The team just wasn't quite the same. And going into the playoffs, it showed. I mean, the Cardinals completely, they folded against the Rams. I mean, the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl, but at the same time, it wasn't even close. It wasn't a close game. And, you know, Kyler looked awful, but I do want to say the blame can't all go to Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury is not a good coach. I've been saying it. For the last couple of years, I've been saying it. And I think it really showed with that playoff loss, they just weren't ready. And I understand Kyler's frustration here. You know, he deleted all his Instagram posts. People were talking like, what does that mean? You were skeptical. You were like, that doesn't mean anything. And now more is coming out. So now we know a little bit more. Kyler feels blamed. He feels like, you know, that the organization is kind of making him the scapegoat for the loss. They're putting a lot of pressure on him. And at the same time, you know, there were anonymous comments that someone said that he wasn't a great leader.
No, I think you remember earlier in the year, I was talking to you about how he is a poor leader and how other things have said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely come out that that was true. And I definitely also see some shades of a certain number 11 and number 2.
Yep. I do definitely too.
See some shades of him in
Kyle. I really do. And I hate saying that. At the same time, though, I don't think that this situation is going to get any crazier, at least right now. I think Kyler will go back to the Cardinals. Do you agree? I mean, he's going to be the Cardinals
quarterback. Yeah, I don't see anything coming out of this.
Yeah, and as much, you know, as good as he is, he just needs to start playing a little bit more consistent. I don't think Kingsbury should be the coach anymore, though. I mean, I don't think he's a good coach. And I think that's part of the reason why you're getting some of this inconsistent play from Kyler Murray. But we'll see what comes with him next season. It's kind of sad that, you know, so early in his career, there's already talks about this and bad leader and, you know, may not work out, but we'll have to see. I still think he has a shot to do something special if everything works next season. We'll see. Yeah, a lot of quarterback talk. You know, there's a lot of stuff coming up in this offseason. I'm sure that some team's going to make a big move to get Watson or Russ or something like that. And we'll have a lot to talk about. So, you know, I hope you're excited for the offseason because we're going to be talking about draft picks, trades, what we would do if we were GMs, just everything. We're going to be doing rankings. It's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks so much for sticking with us and listening to us throughout the whole season. We started posting a little bit late into the season, but we got on a consistent posting basis, and we have some of you listeners who have been here every week. So we really appreciate that. And please stick with us into the off season. We have a lot more to talk about. I think, you know, Alex is especially excited for some of these rookie
draft
player
the most fun
analysis. Yeah, draft season is a lot of fun. So we really can't wait. But yeah, that's all for now. See you next time. Bye-bye.